It's nice to see all of you. Can I use your stamp?
Thank you.
I promise to return it. Are you glad to be here? Well, if you're not, it's too late. I want to talk a little bit and preamble. Your pink slip. What's the one thing you noticed that is common in this, besides open to all? Which, by the way, the only place it doesn't say that is the women's lunch. So, oh, and the men's breakfast. But what's common in here? Food. Oh my goodness, I'm going to gain 10 pounds just in this week if I eat everything. Now, let me just say the reason we have all of these is that we don't expect you to come to them all unless you want to. Or if you're looking for free food, this is a good way to get free meals. But the idea is to give you opportunities. So let me just say this, that he's candidating to us, but we're candidating to him. It's going both ways. So this is just a thought I had. I encourage all of the doctrinal questions about the Bible that you want to have, but please try not to argue your point of view if it differs. Does that make sense? I was reminded as I was reading over this that God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And I plan personally, you know, Howie mentioned that, you know, part of the pastor search team that he's committed to this guy. I'm neutral. I haven't decided. Now, maybe that sounds like a betrayal, but it's just kind of like, I've seen a couple sermons, I've read a few pieces of paper, I don't know this guy, and I'm not deciding now based on what somebody else says. I have to decide what I want, and I think you should do the same. So in the same light of that, I think it kind of providential that I volunteered to preach this morning before knowing that Mr. Kernan was going to be here next Sunday. Oh, let's talk about that. There was some concern because originally we had said that he would come and preach and then we would have a week of prayer and then we would vote on the 30th. And someone came to me and said, whoa, wait a minute. I thought, well, who changed the plans? And to be honest with you, I didn't know at that time who changed the plans. But actually it was Pastor Kernan because he made a request. And the request was is that we would vote the same day that he was here because if we decide for him next Sunday, that gives him a chance to get out of his apartment in Minneapolis and not have to pay a whole extra month's rent. And our pastor search team thought that was a reasonable request, and so we moved it. So now what I'm suggesting is instead of praying after he got here, I'm suggesting that you do all your praying before he gets here and while he's here. It can be the same amount of time. So that's the reasoning behind why that changed. And I'm having a church meeting, okay? I'm letting you know why we've done some of the things we have. So get in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm going to skip a few verses. There isn't a football game today, but, you know, it's already getting warm in here. I see lots of people fanning themselves. And usually what I try to do is as I notice more and more people falling asleep during my sermons, I cut it shorter and shorter. So, you know, if you snore, I just stop in the middle of a sentence. Okay, we're done. So, in light of what we're going to be doing in the next week, I thought these were important thoughts. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, I'm a little sensitive to this because 20 years ago, I was pastor of a church in Indianola, and the church had grown to a point that they wanted a full-time pastor, and I was working for Alpha, and so I resigned. And they called a man, and they were in such a rush. And they hired a fella, and 3 years later, they fired him. Let me tell you how damaging that was to the congregation. He was, to be honest with you, a liar, a cheat, and a thief. See what that verse says? So, oh, and by the way, they got in a big hurry and hired the next guy, and he destroyed the church, and it ended up folding up. So when you take this, for many false prophets or pastors have gone out into the world, we need to really be prayed up about this man. I'm not knocking him at all. I'm asking you to be in tune with God. So let's look on. Some think that a spiritual person, because they talk a lot about God, or they pray great, long, loud prayers, sometimes even in the streets. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, unless your righteousness surpasses the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And the scribes and Pharisees were the most religious people in their community. So we need to understand that there's a difference between appearing religious and being spiritual. And we need to be praying that we'll have discernment for those things. So true spirituality will show itself in certain dominant traits or desires. And these will be present, deep-seated wants that will motivate a person to be close to God. So I picked seven. They're not in necessarily any order of importance. I just picked seven. There are others. But these were ones that I thought were important, but maybe a bit subtle. So the first one, as you find in your bulletin, is a spiritual man. And let me say this, ladies, I'm not mocking or dissing you women. If this could be man or woman, but in the case we're looking at a candidate, and by the way, his wife's not candidating for anything. At least I don't think so. So the first one is that a spiritual person desires to be holy rather than happy. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I chose not to write all these verses out, just because I wanted to kind of focus on them. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. There's a yearning among professing Christians for just happiness as a proof of, but it's just being happy isn't a proof of spiritual maturity. Happiness is connected to our circumstances. Matter of fact, if you look up the word, and I did it this week, the word hap, H-A-P, is where we get the English word happening and happiness. And happiness is based on what's happening. I don't know about you, but I can have things change and my happiness is gone. That happened to you? So happiness is not something that is a mark of... Now, there's nothing wrong with a cheerful person. I like cheerful people. I don't enjoy grumps who are always miserable and finding fault. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. It's kind of depressing. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening and coming of the Lord, the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, since we are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found in him without spot or blemish and at peace. Now here Peter is writing, and he's saying basically, the way things are now is not how it's going to stay. And it ought to be a motivation as we realize this to live godly lives and focus on holiness rather than happiness. John Wesley once said he was concerned about one of the congregations. He was an itinerant preacher, and he was concerned about them because they were more interested in being happy than they were being holy. They came to church to enjoy the service rather than to learn about how to be right with God. Number two, a man considered spiritual when he wants to see God honored through his life, even if he suffers loss. Such people pray, hallowed be your name, and whisper, at any cost to me, Lord. A spiritual man will live for God's honor and will be a kind of a spiritual reflex. Every choice in life is to consider God first. Job chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Oh, let's do 34. I'm sorry. Do 25. There isn't a 34. I tell you the truth, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And he goes on talking all the way through there. I noticed quite a few Hawaiian shirts this morning. You know why there's Hawaiian shirts in this church? Because I started a protest. Several years ago, I got really upset because there were certain folks in our church that felt like how you dressed reflected on God and how you felt about God. And some of those people were rude and mean to people who didn't know or have the same standard that the person did. And so there were some people that were badly hurt, offended, because they didn't dress according to somebody else's standard. When we begin to come to look at the external things, we miss out on the spiritual things. Jesus talks here in Matthew about these things, and he says, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of those. Now, I remember as a kid being told that we should wear the best clothes we have for church. And to be honest with you, it talks about why do you consider clothes. I stood in the closet this morning and thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to wear? Do you ever do that? What am I going to wear? Will these pants match this shirt? We tend to do these things, but look what it says here. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now you'll probably think this silly, but I stood in our closet. We have a small walk-in closet. And I stood there and said, Lord, what do you think? And this is what he thought. My point is that so oftentimes we get so wrapped up in the little things, but we ought to include in God even in those. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Number three, the spiritual man wants to carry his cross. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. There's that 34 I said last time. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, now get the picture here. His disciples and a bigger crowd, he's called them in close to him, and he confronts them with this statement. I'm asking you the same thing. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Many Christians accept adversity and problems with a sigh and say, well, I guess it's just my cross I have to bear. It's not the definition of what Jesus is talking about. It's not, oh, I've been stuck with these circumstances and now I'm just going to have to put up with them the best I know how. That's not what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is talking about here is that our cross is a choice that we make. Carrying a cross means to be attached to the person of Christ, committed to the lordship of Christ, obedient to his commands. The man or woman who is so attached and so committed and so obedient is a spiritual person. So it has less to do with circumstances and more to do with commitment. We all have circumstances, stuff, whether it's health issues or finance issues or kid issues or who, you name it. It's how we rejoice and walk through those things that really determines our spiritual life. A spiritual man, number four, is one who sees from God's point of view, having the ability to weigh all things in the divine scale and place the same value on them as God does. I'm not telling you this one's easy, but it's important. God looks at and through something at the same time. I'll tell you a story about yesterday. Debbie and I went out garage sailing on Friday, and I got this great big tent at a garage sale. It was huge. And I knew I was in trouble when the guy gave it to me instead of making me pay for it. He said, no, you can have it. Go ahead. I'll help carry it. Open the trunk. I'll help you put it in. I'm going, oh, what's happening here to me? So anyway, my grandsons come on Saturdays. They're usually with us from like 8 to 8. And so I told them with excitement and enthusiasm, far more than I was actually feeling, that we were going to put up this tent. And they're 5 and 6. And I was thinking about my sermon, about how so oftentimes we see things, but we don't think things through. And I was having to explain to my grandson, so I would tell them to do something, and they would do just that, but they didn't look forward to the next step. Do you ever work with somebody that you had to tell them every single thing to do because they couldn't? You know, I can remember working in a construction job, and my boss was so surprised because he said, I need, and I'd hand it to him because I knew what was coming next on the job. And so oftentimes we don't do the same thing when it comes to the spiritual side of things. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, right? Well, my question is, who's good? You know, we interpret that as, well, it must be my good. Well, I got news for you. I've been through a few things and I really question how good it was for me. But it was good for the kingdom. There have been things that my wife and I have gone through, a few of them that we've gone through here at this church, that I wouldn't call good on the surface. But looking at them at the level of what God is doing, we begin to see not just the experience, but through to the rest of the story. So let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 45. And verses, well, we can do a bit of that. Verses 4 and 5. Joseph said to his brothers, come near me, please. And they came, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me before you to preserve life. Now, do you think that there was any time in Joseph's sojourn between the time he was 18 years old and sold as a slave by his brothers until he worked for Potter for his family, and then he was thrown into prison? Do you think any of that was really how he interpreted it as good? But you see, the thing was, is he never got bitter, he never got angry, he always put God first and took the high road. I am so discouraged when I see Christians, when something doesn't go their way and they take the low road, they get negative, they get hostile, they attack. And I ask myself, so, how spiritual, how important are spiritual things? Joseph probably didn't see during that long period that he was incarcerated in slavery, he didn't see how it was going to turn out, but he trusted God through all of that. Go to chapter 50, verse 15. His brothers weren't sure of him. So when their dad died, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. Now, that statement makes perfect sense to me. I mean, if you look at the culture and the way they handled stuff back then, they were perfectly within their right to expect their brother, who was now second to the king in Egypt, was going to wipe them out. Can you see that? They were within their right to be concerned about that based on their culture and their life. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave us this command before he died. Now, I was sitting this morning thinking, no, he didn't. And now, I don't know, I presume this had to be a verbal statement because I don't think they had email or text or certainly not Twitter. That was a poke. So someone came to Joseph with this message. They're anticipating the worst. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. They did evil to him. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. That was one of the visions or dreams that he had, is that that would happen. But Joseph said to him, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. You see, Joseph was able to see from God's perspective. Now, we don't know when he got that perspective, but I see so many people, and of course, my background, Debbie has to remind me frequently that I often deal with the trouble in the church. I don't see all the folks that never have any trouble. Do you know any of them? Anyway, the smart ones come for help. And this, so we begin to see that the spiritual man sees through and insists on seeing as God sees, even if it humbles and exposes his ignorance to the point of pain. Number five, the spiritual man desires to die right rather than live wrong. I've done my share of funerals. And I'm sad to say that I had a friend who went through 10 months of treatment, and his own wife, who was a master's in nursing, had encouraged him to stop chemo. He was in stage four colon cancer, and it was spread. And she said, "Please, why don't you stop the chemo? Let's take the family and go to Hawaii. Let's spend some time and have some memories." And I remember sitting at his bedside at Harrison Hospital a few days before he died. And he was absolutely terrified of dying. And he did it anyway. His son called me at 3:00 in the morning and said, "Dad's gone." The spiritual man is one who desires to die right rather than live wrong. Acts chapter 21, verses 10 through 14. While we were staying many days, the prophet named Agabus came from Judah. So this is the story. Paul has returned to Israel. He's living out on the coast, and Agabus comes to visit. And verse 11, "And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands." And I was thinking, man, that had to be a pretty good-sized belt. And of course, you know, they wore robes, and the belt was something that they wrapped repeatedly around their waist. So he wrapped Agabus wrapped his hands and feet in this belt and used that as a picture. And he says, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Well, what is he saying here? He's saying, this is not going to go good for you in Jerusalem. Don't go there. That's what Agabus is saying. "When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered and said, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, 'Let the will of the Lord be done.' And after these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem." The spiritual man, as we grow spiritually, we would not trade a few extra days or years on earth at the cost of compromise. He wants most of all to be right and to be content to let God decide how long he'll live and how well he'll prosper. I don't know how many of you watch TV much. I'm giving it up more and more. It's just, I can't stand the commercials. Oh, my goodness. I just get sick of the same commercial at me over and over and over again. And every single one of them is geared toward what? making me dissatisfied with what I've got, and I ought to have what they have, whether it's a car. You remember when they banned cigarette commercials? That was a good thing. You know, the Marlboro man, then they showed him coughing his lungs out. I think they should ban all prescription commercials. Oh my goodness, who would want to take a pill after you hear all the possible problems you could have with it? It's kind of like, I know people who are desperate to live because they're unsure about the future. Spiritual man, number six, spiritual man desires to see others advanced at his expense. And time's going by quickly, so I'll. John the Baptist was confronted because Jesus' ministry was expanding and Paul's was getting smaller, or John's was getting smaller. In John chapter 3, verse 25 through 30, he says, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. If God is pleased, a spiritual person is pleased, even if it means another person is placed above him. Number seven, the spiritual man habitually makes eternal judgments instead of time judgments. By faith, we rise above the tug of the earth in time and learn to think and feel as one who has already left this world. There's a lot of verses I could use. Such a man would or woman would rather be useful than famous and would rather serve than be served. I'm going to skip a couple of the verses and go to Philippians chapter 2. Oh, let's go 12, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work his good pleasure. I like this one. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. It's hard to do in our world, isn't it? That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So oftentimes we struggle with our walk. But you need to understand that our children are watching our walk. Our neighbors are watching our walk. Our enemies are watching our walk. And we begin to look at and realize that we have a responsibility. All these must be the operation of the Holy Spirit within us. No person can become spiritual by his own efforts. Only the Spirit of God can lead us, but we get to choose whether we're going to walk in the Spirit or carry out the desires of the flesh. It's a daily thing. So as we wrap up and begin this next week, and I have to fight the urge to think, oh good, this is going to be over pretty soon. Maybe not. Being able to look through this process, begin to be able to trust in him. And I encourage you to be much in prayer about your impression on him as well as his impression on you. And as we begin to pray and ask God to show us. Now, for your information, the pastor search team has been united on this man being called. The elders have interviewed him at 7 o'clock in the morning on Skype, and we were united on giving him a call. But that's not the settlement of all this. The settlement is that we have to be in a place that we feel strongly that this is the man God wants. And if he doesn't, then we will be prayed up and we will vote no instead of yes. You hear what I just gave you permission to do? Don't just go along because everybody else is doing it. Ask God specifically to speak to you about the things that you should do. Debbie and I were talking about this, and she said, well, you know, most of the time churches always vote yes for him. I'm going, well, no, not necessarily. But don't just vote because everybody else was voting one way. Vote because you have prayed and you're seeking God and you are convinced what is right. It's interesting, Dean. You gave me a flashback with that song, I Surrender All. I don't know how many of you come from the old ministry churches that used to have evangelists. I've done a few evangelistic meetings, but we used to do 26 verses of I Surrender All. And I thought of that. I thought, wow, that would be a great ending. We're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. That needs to be our theme this week, that we're in the right walk with God and that we will choose what God wants, that we see through the surface to what God wants. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the work that you have done through all of these people. Thank you for the blessings that you have been to us through these difficult, confusing, hurtful, misunderstanding times. Help us to be guided by your love. Help us to walk by faith. Help us to see through things to your will. Minister to us this week. Guide us by your mighty hand. And if Mark Kernan is the man you want here, then we will agree. And if not, you will say no through us. Bless our week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.